at times I still doubt him. Do you really think this is best, Lord? I know you know everything. I know you know everything about the future. But I really think this job is better for me. How foolish. Or, Lord, I really think I need this. I know for some reason you don't see fit for it right now, but man, I really think I need this. That's very dumb for a sheep. I think if I remembered, I'm the sheep, he's the shepherd, that'd make a big difference. Let's look in John chapter 10 again, if you would. Turn there with me. John chapter 10 and verse 11. We'll read a few verses here. Jesus, doing the speaking, says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That doesn't make any logical sense to me, to be honest with you. I'm thinking about this in a worldly view. A shepherd with a flock of sheep, if something were to come along that could harm the sheep, I would say it's logical for the shepherd to do his best, but not in his own life. The life of the sheep are not worth the life of the shepherd. But that's true. I'm not worth my Savior's blood, yet he shed it for me. The masses of all saved people over the end of time put together are not worth our Savior's life. But he gave it up for us. Why? He's the good shepherd. He loves the sheep. We'll keep reading. Verse 12 says, but he that is an hireling, that's just an employee of the shepherd. That's someone that the farmer hires to care for the sheep. They aren't his sheep. They don't belong to him. He just is there for the money. It says, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. So, see, we belong to the shepherd. We are his sheep. He cares for us in a way that no one else will ever care. There is a love from the Savior that cannot be understood or surpassed. And he states this again in verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. It's interesting that it says that he knows us by name, that we're called by name. If you're here and saved, your salvation is personal. That is between you and your Savior alone. There's no one else involved. How amazing to think that we have a personal relationship with the Alpha and Omega, the one which is, which was, which is to come, the beginning, the ending, the long-suffering. We can go on and on attempting to describe our shepherd. But to think we have a personal relationship with him, that he knows each individual sheep. When I'm over there at that sheep farm, helping put up hay and straw, I can look out there in that flock of sheep. And, you know, some of them are a little bigger than others. Some are a little bit dumber than others. But I really can't tell them apart. He's got 60 or 70 of them. And I just look out there and I'm like, yep, they're still sheep. But he owns them. He can look out there. And he can point at some. And he can go, that one had trouble when it was born. Because I had to deworm that one twice. For some reason it didn't work well the first time. He knows his sheep. Just an earthly shepherd. Just an earthly rancher, I guess I should say. He looks out there and he goes, no, that's number 35. This is one of my more well-behaved sheep. That's number 22. It likes to run off. It'll find every hole in the fence. I call that one Tyler Clark. But he knows his. Isn't it amazing, all the children, all these sheep, that the God of the universe, the self-existent eternal, cares to know anything about any one of his sheep, much less each of them individually. That blows my mind. It says in Romans chapter 8, if you turn there with me, another well-known passage. even among the secular world, although usually taken out of context. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You must always remember the last half of that verse to keep the context. It says, we know that all things work together for good, and that's usually where most people stop, right there. Go, yep, all things work together for good. That's not what the Bible says. It says to them. Well, them is a pronoun referring to a specific group. It does not refer to all. It refers to some. Again, His sheep and sheep that aren't His sheep. There's a difference. If you're hearing lost, you are not in the them. You need to be in the them. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It's another interesting thing about the shepherd's flock is that it's all chosen of him. No sheep chooses the shepherd. That's not how it works. You don't go to the stockyard and the sheep start lining up in front of the shepherds. Yep, I like this one. This is mine. No, the sheep don't care. On their own, sheep think of one thing. Just eat. I mean, if you watch them, that's really about all they do is eat. We didn't choose our shepherd. The shepherd chose us, because on our own, we wouldn't ever choose him. For some to say, well, that's not fair. I'm like, that's absolutely right. It's not. There shouldn't be any of his sheep. The shepherd shouldn't have ever laid his life down for the sheep, if you want to be fair. That's not fair. I'm thankful that we don't have a fair shepherd. Amen. Because fairness has no room for mercy and grace that I need. Verse 28 says, the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall then we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's an interesting mindset to have. Keep in mind, Paul wrote this. All the things Paul had against him. I would fairly say most of the world did not like Paul. He wasn't a very well-favored man outside of the Lord's true churches. If you were to read through the New Testament, there were a lot of towns that drove him out and tried to kill him. Most governments didn't like him. He was accused of being one of those that turned the world upside down. This isn't a popular man. Paul had a lot of enemies. Yeah, he wrote this, if God be for us, who can be against us? You know, I've always thought I'd hate to be Paul's traveling companion. I would love the wisdom and the learning, but I think I'd hate the beatings and the stonings and the shipwrecks and being driven out of town and the imprisonments. I can imagine standing next to Paul when he wrote that, be like, really? Paul? The entire last town wants us dead. I can give you a pretty good list of people who are against us. But he wrote this, if God be for us, who can be against us? What enemy? What problem? I'm really good at counting the enemy, figuring them out, figuring out how many of them there are. I mean, I'd be sitting down and going, okay, Thessalonica hates me. I'm not welcome back in Jerusalem. And figuring up all the people against me. Paul didn't count that. He only counted who was on his side. He said, if God be for us. This comes from understanding who the shepherd is. Oftentimes I wondered if I had this mindset, how many of my fears I would still have. We should fear only one thing, our Lord. He keeps on going. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What a caring Lord, what a caring shepherd to be self-sacrificial for the sheep. I often think about that. The Bible says, and we'll look here in a minute, but we are bought. We're not just claimed, we're bought, because we have a sin debt that had to be paid. If I pay for something, I usually intend to take care of it. I don't go out and spend all of the money I have attempted to earn on a truck just to trash it. I will care for it. I'll change the oil. I'll try to keep it clean off of the Michigan salt as much as possible. I'll do things for it. And I paid just mere dollars, not self-sacrificial, not my blood, not the blood of my only son. Just dollars, and I take that much care for it. Same way with a house. I care for my house. If the roof starts to leak, I'll fix the roof. If things happen around the house, we fix the house. None of us here have probably ever bought anything that was a very great, great price that we don't care for. And to think that we are bought with the price of God's only Son. How blasphemous is it to think that He wouldn't be a caring God after all that? How many circumstances do I walk into and forget everything this Bible says? Be like, oh, well, Lord, You left me this time. How am I going to figure this out? What next? How is this any good? You know, we often have quoted Romans 8:28 to people going through a trial. And to be honest, it's been quoted to me in trials. And I just kind of wanted to look at the person and slap them. Like, really? You think I didn't know that passage? That's not what I wanted to hear. I want you to, as Brother Roland said, commiserate with me. I don't want the problem solved. But it's true. Have we ever thought about that? Everything the shepherd does, everything, is for our benefit. I preached a few weeks ago on the anatomy of a trial. And that no matter what trial we go through, no matter what the ending is, it was all for our benefit. I can't comprehend that. I really can't. There's trials in my life. I can look back and I can already see the benefits and look, go, yeah, Lord, I see how You used that. I was an idiot. I'm glad that You brought me through that and made me better. There's trials I've gone through. I still can't look back and see the benefit. The benefit might not have been for me. I'm not the only sheep. I forget that too. I act like I'm the only sheep in the flock in the world. Paul goes on to say this, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Never read over the ETHs of the Bible. It says maketh. That means that it's continual. It doesn't end. Maketh intercession for us. Every time I mess up, He goes, no, that one's mine. I paid for him. Every time I'm the stupid sheep and I stick my head through the fence and get stuck, He goes, nope, this one's mine. Pulls him back. And I wander off and go do my own thing. He brings me back, sometime with some chastening, but He brings me back and goes, nope, this one's mine. He maketh intercession. I mess up and I fail the Lord. And He would have every right to pour out His wrath on me. His Son's there to go, nope, He's mine. You gave Him to me. I paid for Him. I paid for that. I paid for that very sin. I knew He would do that. I bought Him anyway. How amazing that He maketh intercession. He goes on to say, in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Again, keep in mind who wrote this. This isn't a man that had an easy life by any means. I would say most of us, if we went through what he would go through, say one of the worst lives you could lead. I mean, how miserable every town you go to get locked up, beaten, stoned. Shipwrecked, everybody hates you, runs you out of town. I mean, awful. Yet he says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Certainly Paul had seen both. Or persecution or famine? He'd seen those too. Or nakedness or peril or sword? He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted, what? As sheep. Sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Amen.
And that phrase that we looked at in Psalm 23, He said, I shall not want. Part of the meaning of that word is fail. I can't possibly look over my life and say, I shall not fail. But I can scripturally. It says, we are more than conquerors because we have Christ making intercession for us. I fail and I stumble. And He picks me back up. He goes, no, you're mine. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I shall not want. In those two verses, I think Paul covers probably anything we could ever fear. I am persuaded that neither death, so there's that excluded, nor life. All the scariest things I can ever think of take place in life. I don't know if I can comprehend anything that scares me more than the thought of losing loved ones. The thought of failing loved ones. Having to witness that, go through that. I can't imagine that. Nor angels. I've never wrestled with an angel. It said, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That pretty much sums up anything I can fear. Anything I can be worried about is covered right here, that Christ's love is still there. God's still there. The one that is the beginning and the end. The all-powerful, my shepherd. Brother Dennis wrote out about following this morning. You know what? If we follow the shepherd, that means He's there. What a great thing. Not only that, it means He was there first. He knows all about it. Back in our text, if you turn there with me, in Psalms chapter 23, here, we left one word here for the ending. Now, in the English language, we read left to right. I know my came before shepherd, but it's clear that we need to understand the shepherd first. But let's look at this my. It's a pronoun that shows ties or possession. He's my shepherd. But you know what's even better than that? It goes both ways. I'm His sheep. I'll give you guys a tip. Everybody else probably knows this. But for me, studying Scripture, I love to take a verse and diagram it. If you ever diagram sentences in school, I thought it was the most stupid thing ever. I'm like, Dad, I can read. Why am I doing this? He goes, one of these days, if it ever goes like I fear it may, you'll probably need to diagram sentences. Well, Tim is right. Diagramming them makes it very easy to see things that I will often overlook. My describes shepherd. It does not define shepherd. Lord defines shepherd. My simply describes it. Of course, we already read in John chapter 10 that we are His sheep, that He knows us and we know Him. But let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 23. Sorry, let's start in verse 21. It says, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. There's a whole other sermon in that I'll refrain from. Verse 23 says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Remember who our shepherd is and that we belong to Him. We're bought with a price. We all know that great price. It was the blood of Jesus on the cross. What a price. None of us can match it. There is nothing else more valuable than the Son of God. That's what I cost. That's what my sin costs. I should remember that every time I sin, the very cost of it, how extremely precious it is. It says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Shepherd purchased us. I shouldn't follow after other things like I often do. I should remember who I belong to. There's nothing better than to be owned by the good shepherd. There's no better shepherd. There's nothing better to follow than the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. We'll look again in Acts chapter 20 here in closing. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, take heed therefore. That's the equivalent to my parents saying, hey, pay attention. Which I heard a lot as a kid. It said, take heed therefore unto yourselves. That requires not looking around at everybody else. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves. Nothing matters more to you than where you stand with the shepherd. There's nothing absolutely more important in your life. Don't worry about everybody else. Mom and Dad used to tell me that all the time. I don't know if it was oldest kid syndrome or what, but I'm good at worrying about all my other siblings. Like, Dad, did you see him? He just hit him. I think he should get at least 3 spankings. I was really good at looking at everybody else's faults, what's going on in their life. In reality, I pay very poor attention to my own things I need to be tending to. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Specific calling for pastors. Pray for your pastor. I'm not a pastor, but I'm a preacher. It is very scary to think about the responsibility of presenting the scripture before a flock. But your pastor is called to care for you. Pray for him. Amen. That the Lord would be with him, that the Holy Ghost would be upon him. It said, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What an expensive flock. If you're ever feeding or caring for a member of the flock, remember just how valuable the shepherd's flock is to him. This crosses my mind every time I preach. Think about the severity of feeding the shepherd's flock, because he bought it with his own blood. This flock is very, very precious to the shepherd. If you're here and lost, you are a lost and wandering sheep. You do not know the shepherd. I could say where your end is. It says in Romans in many places, but the wages of sin is death. Certainly we've all sinned. You need the merciful shepherd. Brother Matt, if you'd come.